As we were watching the slide presentation this evening, I really had a number of thoughts, but two which I'd like to share very briefly. First of all, I thought, now how valuable the individual person is in this world. How really important and valuable people are. And secondly, I thought that God truly is accomplishing His purposes in this world. When you look at all of the variety, even in the three couples and their families, the ways in which God worked through them, it's really amazing. And truly, God must be accomplishing His will and His purposes in this world throughout the body of Christ and through those of us that are gathered here tonight. We as a pastoral staff are looking to continue the series approach this summer. There's a little change, though, a bit more of a different wrinkle in what we're doing at this stage, and that is to take some contemporary Christian issues, some issues that we are confronted with, faced with, issues that we may have particular interest in at this time in our lives. And recently I have been and have completed reading a book called The Seduction of Christianity, whose primary author is a man by the name of Dave Hunt. Mr. Hunt believes that there is a revival of sorcery that is sweeping the secular world as well as the church today, and a revival which has as its bait on the hook, as he calls it, the promise of godhood, the same promise that the serpent promised to Eve, often called the human potential movement or the New Age movement. At its very core, it denies the innate sinfulness of mankind and their need for repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And probably the cornerstone of this movement, one of its major practices, is the practice that is called visualization, or imaging, it's referred to at times. If you were to look up in the dictionary the idea of visualizing or visualization, you would no doubt come up with some of the phrases that would convey the idea that you form a mental picture in your mind of something. And if you were to envision something, you would be seen forming a mental picture in your mind in advance of its realization, before it actually happened. Dave Hunt, says that it's an attempt to manipulate reality through mind over matter techniques, which have their basis and their foundation in sorcery and in witchcraft and in ancient shamanism. There's one religious leader who is a part of this movement advocating the practice of visualization in prayer, who says this about it. He says, it consists of vividly picturing in your conscious mind a desired goal or objective, and holding that image until it sinks into your unconscious mind, where it releases untapped power. Now, there are examples that I think abound in secular literature today of the idea of visualization, but I'd like to simply single out visualization in prayer as it is being advocated by at least some leaders in the Christian world today, and to give you some examples, some quotable examples from those that are advocating it in its practice. Here is one. In your imagination, allow your spiritual body, shining with light, to rise out of your physical body. Look back so that you can see yourself lying in the grass, and reassure your body that you will return momentarily. Goes on and describes how you can imagine that your spiritual body begins to float above the clouds and into the stratosphere and deeper into outer space, where eventually you will reach and you'll come to rest in the presence of God. Rest in His presence. Listen quietly, anticipating the unanticipated. Note carefully any instruction that is given. And then he goes on and describes that do not be surprised if the instruction is terribly practical and not in the least what you thought of as spiritual. And then he talks about returning back to your body, your spiritual self returning back. So the idea is visualizing or imaging, visualizing yourself leaving, your spiritual self leaving your body and going into outer space somewhere and finally coming to rest in the presence of God. Another example taken from this particular author talks about when he was called to a home to pray for a seriously ill baby girl. Her 4-year-old brother was in the room, and so I told him I needed his help to pray for his baby sister. He was delighted, and so was I, since I know that children can often pray with unusual effectiveness. He climbed up in the chair beside me. "Let's play a little game," I said. "And since we know that Jesus is always with us, let's imagine that He is sitting over in the chair across from us. He is waiting patiently for us to center our attention on Him. And when we see Him, we start thinking more about His love than how sick Julie is." He smiles, gets up, and comes over to us. And then, "Let's both put our hands on Julie, and when we do, Jesus will put His hands on top of ours. And we'll watch and imagine that the light from Jesus is flowing right into your little sister and making her well." And he describes that together we prayed in this childlike way, and we thanked the Lord that what we saw was the way that it was going to be. A third example, an illustration of this concept of visualization in prayer, is somewhere. This one dealing with marriage. God desires that marriages be healthy, whole, and permanent. The author describes, "You may know of marriages that are in deep trouble and need your help. Perhaps the husband is having an affair with some other woman." He advocates making it a practice for 30 days to pray and visualize the husband meeting the other woman and feeling dismayed and shocked that he had ever thought of getting involved with her. Watch the very thought of an illicit affair become distasteful to him. Visualize him walking in the doorway and seeing his wife and being overwhelmed with a sense of love for her. Picture them taking a walk together and falling in love with each other as they did years ago. See them increasingly able to open and talk and care. Imagine, in your imagination, build a large brick wall between the husband and the other woman. You know, that really has some power to it. I think each one of us here would say that is attractive. That's attractive because of the idea behind it, obviously. But we're concerned with the practice tonight rather than the idea so much. And one final example that I would like to give in understanding this actual practice of visualization and prayer that some Christians are advocating. "Brother so-and-so said, there's a doctor downtown, and we're going to pray that he will give you $5,000. We'll not only pray, we'll visualize him doing it." The gentleman who went to visit the doctor returned triumphantly with the $5,000 to tell his waiting friend that after refusing him at first, the doctor suddenly changed his mind and gave him the money. Brother so-and-so explained, "I just sent a thought hovering over you all the way down there that he would do it, and my thought hit him right between the eyes." And the man who went to visit the doctor exclaimed, "You know, I saw it hit him." He said, "It penetrated his brain and it changed his thinking. But this should change your thinking too. Just remember, when you want to achieve something, hold it in your mind, the picture of yourself achieving it. Paint in all the details, make it as real as you possibly can." Now, there are four examples, and there are numerous more. I've read those where there would be people who would say, visualize yourself as a material success, visualize yourself as an occupational success. Visualize, again, a picture of Jesus Christ in your mind. And not only will you form this image in your mind, but Jesus will actually come to you and he will talk to you, and you should listen to the instructions that he is giving you. Visualize another case. Visualize in prayer yourself sending God's light into bad people or mean people that you would meet and that you know of, and see God changing them into good people. The leaders of this practice, some of the leaders, I should say, have this to say about it. They say that your unconscious mind has a power that turns your wishes into realities when the wishes are strong enough. And one very prominent Christian leader, whose name if I were to mention, you would probably really perk up and listen, said that we cannot commune with a Savior whose form and shape elude us. In other words, you should visualize Jesus in your mind when you pray to him and talk to him, because you can't worship a Savior who you cannot have a image of, one who you cannot know whose form and shape is. Anything we can visualize in our mind, we can believe will happen, is what another said. Now, when I read this book by Dave Hunt, who again is the primary author of it, The Seduction of Christianity, I made it a point to jot down throughout the book his responses to this practice of visualization, and I'll briefly share them. He writes that if you practice visualization in prayer, your faith will not be in God and his will, but rather faith becomes a power directed at God to force him to do our will. We lock God in a box, and he must do what we say. Another thought that he had is that it discourages obedience to God, and it does not at all encourage a affirming or a submission to his will. Another, visualizing in prayer is a practice which is not found in the Bible. It is not found in the Bible, but it is present, Mr. Hunt believes in his research, it is present in all occultic literature and in making contact with the spirit world. For faith is in what you can dream and visualize rather than in God and his written revelation. Five, you run the risk of opening yourself up to demonic influence. Six, you become an idol worshiper. In this case, the idol is the false mental image which you are forming of God. Seven, reality is created by every individual. Reality becomes subjective. And eight, when you imagine something into reality, you become your own God. And for Hunt, I think this is his strongest point, that he sees how there's a possibility, and of course it's projection, but a possibility that the Antichrist would use this approach to bringing Muslims and Hindus and atheists and agnostics and professing Christians who aren't really Christians together, where they can all realize the full potential that lies within them, that he will lead the way in this potential, human potential movement. Well, what is my reaction to all this? Well, I not only read Hunt's book, but I went back and looked at some of the primary sources in which he quotes from different people who advocate this practice. And I would say that, first of all, that there are some who do not give the total impression that I think Mr. Hunt gives in his books, in his book. I think there are at least some of the Christian authors that he is quoting from that are not as far out as they would appear to be from reading certain quotations in the book. There are some who are sincere believers in Christ. You can know it. I think you can rest assured of it, that there are some, at least, who are, and who do not even make the claim that you can see this really happening in every request that you make through practicing visualization. And I think there should be some care that is taken to read the primary sources and the quotes that he is making. But I must confess that overall I find myself agreeing with a lot of what he is saying. This practice of visualization. And I admit that there's a red flag that goes up in my mind when I hear some of the things that are being said about this. For it does appear that in cases people are adding words to Scripture. If you're visualizing Jesus Christ in your mind and he's communicating to you and talking to you, and you're listening and responding to those words that in some cases don't even match up at all with what the Bible says, you're running into a lot of trouble. You're adding to the words of Scripture. I think that it could distort how a believer views themselves and views God through this practice. I think that you begin to impose your will on God, and you begin to impose your will on other people as well. And it could be a very troublesome thing. And what I would encourage you to do would be to read this book by Dave Hunt, others that talk about this practice of visualization. Read the books that the advocates of the practice are writing. And do your own study of prayer in Scripture. But for me, I've come to the conclusion that our prayer is to be based upon the content of the Bible and not upon things that we can conjure up in our own minds. Thank you.